All right, so we're here with a bonus episode of the Last Round Podcast with former British champion Ashley Thurfane. How's it going, Ash?
I'm doing good, my man. You all right?
I'm good. Last week we were in Madrid with Sergio Martinez. This week with London, and I'm based in Southern California. So,
a nice one.
Kind of crazy, all over the world at the minute.
But where's your accent from? Because you ain't American.
No. I'm from North Yorkshire, near near York and Darlington, around there.
Okay. So, what are you doing in America?
A crazy Vegas trip.
Oh yeah, you just stayed. You fell in love and you stayed.
Pretty much, yeah. I met a girl out here and then ended up staying. So what happens in Vegas doesn't stay in Vegas.
Yeah, oh, that's good. That's so how long have you been there for now?
It'll be, do you know what? I think it's like 6 years, 2 days ago. 6 years on the 15th.
Great, man. All right, that's good. All right.
Crazy times.
Indeed. And it's led you here.
That's it. There you go.
Yeah.
Yes, bro. So obviously turning it kind of back to you. So how did you get started in boxing? Was it something that, you know, came through the family?
Well, for me, it was my dad was a fan, and he used to watch the big fights, and he just allowed me to watch the fights with him. And then, you know, I see Mike, you see these great guys just going at it. And it kind of, I was like, this looks fun. I want to do it. So my dad just took me down to the gym. And then, you know, I tried it out, had so much fun. And then I was like, this is what I want to do. Like, this is what I want to be. And, you know, we're here now, you know. So it's all good.
So you didn't have a long amateur career, is that right?
You know what? I was in the gym from when I was 8 years old, and then I think I had my first amateur fight at 15, and then for seven years, I was amateur for 7 years, but I won't say I wasn't good. I was good in the gym, but when it came to the fights, it's like I couldn't get like the big wins there. Like when I would do the ABAs and stuff, my coach would think I could win it. But then I would go there and we wouldn't get the result we wanted. So you know, the amateurs didn't really work out good for me. But saying that, when I was an amateur, I always wanted to be a pro. So I would always tell my coach, I want to turn pro. I want to turn pro. And he would always say, no, like it isn't time yet. I'm too young. So you know, some people's style is more for the amateurs. Some folks is more for the pros, so I guess mine was more for the pros, and you know, that's how it been. But yeah, the amateurs was cool. I had fun in the amateurs.
And then when you turned pro, was the aim always a world title, or?
You know what? For me, because I was never like an amateur star, it was because I didn't have no promoters behind me. For me, it was just like kind of to give your best, innit? Like just what would be, because I never, even though you might see these big fights and you wish like for it, the chances are that it isn't gonna, like me saying I'm back home as a kid and I'm like, I want to fight in America. The chances are that's not gonna go down, because it's just not gonna happen. So you know, I had dreams of going to America to fight the best, but I didn't think that was gonna really become true. So so I just wanted to give my best in it, and what would be, and that's what I've continued to do.
And then in 2007, I think it was, you actually left the UK, went over to the US.
2005,
is it?
Yes.
So what led to that?
So basically I think I was 9-1, and then I had lost a fight, and then I was like, you know what? It's time is now to go to America, because I was like 24, 25 years old. And I was like, I've been pro for like 2 years. So I was like, it's time to go now, or I'll just be stuck here. So I went out to New York for a month to spar and stuff at Gleason's gym. And it was just so good when I went out there and I sparred. I was scared and stuff, but I've never been to America, and the gyms were very loud, and they wanted to kind of kill me. Like, they just wanted to kill me. But the coaches there wanted to teach me so much, and they believed in me, and they thought I was very good. And they taught me a lot of stuff, and the sparring was going well. I sparred with some good guys there, and I was doing well. So they kind of helped me to believe in myself. Then when I was back home, no one didn't care. They didn't care about me. I was on the small club shows, so no one didn't care. But then when I went to America, I got all this love, like, wow, like, you could be a world champ. I was like, damn, like, I got to go back. So that's kind of what started. I went there just to go for a month to spar to see if I am any good. Then it went great. The guys there said, you are good. And then I just kept going back whenever I could. So that it just kind of snowballed into a bigger thing to try to get the fights in America.
Any gym stories from Gleason's? Did they stick you in with all the big boys on the first day to see how much you wanted it?
The way it was crazy that I would spar the guys. They actually would like try to kill me. Like it was like a fight all the time. It was just a fight, and it was just so hard. And it was guys, if I was doing well, they might just hit me in the balls, or they might pick me up to throw me down on the floor. So sometimes it got out of hand and stuff. There was even I think it was the first time I went there, I got into some argument like with Paulie, because we had some issue. He thought I was hitting him low or whatever it was. So for years I didn't like Paulie, but now me and him are cool. So you know what I'm saying? It was just very intense. Coming from here where we spar and we're just cool. We're cool at the start, we're cool at the end, like we ain't trying to kill each other. And then you go over there and then everyone's just kind of growling at me. Like I mean, so it was kind of a shock to me. So I had to get my mentality away from how I was in like home, where we're friends, and because over there it was just like war, and that's kind of how I had to learn. But I guess the 7 years that I spent in New York prepared me for when I went to Floyd's gym. So it made me hard, and you know, I was very good like by that time, and I had seen everything, and I sparred with loads of world champs and whatever. So it was kind of sink or swim, and I swam.
So what led from the move from Gleason's after 7 years to Vegas with Floyd?
Well, the time at Gleason's gym, I had beaten the world number three. I had fought Garcia as well. I had become British champion. So because I had done like so many camps there, I was like, I need a change. So that's how it came about. I was British champion. I'd went over to New York for 8 weeks camp. And then I was just like, I need a change. I don't want to be here for 8 weeks. I'm going to be bored. And then so I took a flight over to like the West Coast. Went to Floyd's gym for 2 weeks. And they just showed me so much love from the very first day. Like Roger, I'd done pads with Rog, with Boza. Like Floyd himself, he stopped me, he asked me who I was and stuff. And we interacted and said, oh, we might spar. So from the very first day, they were cool with me. I was out there for 2 weeks. I came back to New York. I done 6 weeks there, whatever it was. I done the 8 week camp. Then I came back home, lost to British. And I was like, shit, I had such a great camp and I fucking lost. like, you know what I'm saying? It's nuts. So then I lost the British, can't get no fights at home again. So I'm like Floyd was cool with me over there. And I saw that Ishe Smith had just won the world belt. And I was like, he's older than me. Like, maybe I can go over there and I can get some love of Floyd. So exactly a year had gone by and I flew back to Vegas. And then I walked into the gym, I think, yeah, because Floyd was going to fight Guerrero. So it was the Guerrero camp. And he said, oh, you're back. So he had remembered me from the whole year had gone by. And then I was supposed to just go there for a month. But then when the month had gone well and I was going out for runs with Floyd would watch me spar. I was like, I'm going to stay for next month till his fight. stay to his fight. And then straight after his fight, we hadn't agreed that I would sign or anything. But he must have been chatting to reporters, and he saw me in the crowd, and he just called me over. He said, dear, this is my new guy here. He's from Britain. So that was cool. I was like, oh shit, I'm with Floyd now. So so that was kind of cool, because we had gone for runs and he had said he wants to help me in my career, but we had never really spoke on the details. But then in front of the press, he said, this is my guy, innit? So then I came back home. I was supposed to fight here and then go back over there, but I didn't fight in the end. So I went back there in July. And then that's basically another month went by, and then I signed with them. So and then I was with them for 5 years. So, it worked out well, man. I've had a hard career the way it was, but it worked out well,
You ended up being his sparring partner, I think, was it ahead of the Canelo fight?
Yeah, Canelo and the Berto camp.
How was sparring with Floyd? But that was an eye opener, was it?
It was. You know what? I would say that most guys get kind of shell-shocked and scared, so they kind of just freeze and then he just beats the shit out of them. But I was kind of one of the ones who kind of rose to the occasion, because I was like, shit, I'm against Floyd. Like me, I just kind of found it fun that I would look ahead and I got Floyd Mayweather, the best in the world, and I get to go up against him. So for me, I think I sparred him 5 times in the two camps. And for me, it was just fun. And because I actually done very well I done kind of one of the best out of everyone, because I got a car out of it. Mm-hmm. I got to fight AB out of it, because he would always say, if you can fight AB the way that you spar me, then you can win. You know what I'm saying? Because I was just in great shape, and then I would just be all over Floyd, and I'd be fast. So sometimes, there's many guys who shine in the gym, and then it comes to the fight, and they don't produce. It happens all of the time. So it was a shame that I had for the AB fight, I had such a great camp, and when it came to the fight, I just couldn't do what I'd done in the the gym. Shit happens.
What did you take from your time, being in Floyd's camp, sparring with Floyd, being able to watch him every day?
Yeah, it was great. Because it's like, he was like the Muhammad Ali of our time. Like, he was the greatest of our time. He was the greatest of our time. So to be able to watch him, I think the last 3 years of his career, I got to watch him, to go out with him, the backstage stuff would go on backstage. We would go out to eat to his mum's house. So it was great to see him when the lights are on and the lights are off, how he conducts himself, So I think it's good. And I think he gets a lot of criticism, but I think for him now we're seeing a lot of the guys who box, they're taking control of their careers. And he was one of the first to do that, So I think that's kind of one of the things that I took from him, that you have to control, but you should have more say in your career. Like, they always would give us a say in our career and what we want to do. For me anyway, it wasn't you're going to fight him. It would be, do you want to fight him? If you don't want to fight, just say, if you don't want to fight him, who do you want to fight? We'll try and get the guys you want to fight. So it, you had an actual say in the way it was, but it was good. It was great to see him train. That's an eye opener to actually see the man train, so that's good. So yeah, man, it was great. I would say the first 3 years was great, because he was in the gym and it was the energy to be around him. If you watch Floyd work so hard and he's got so much millions, if that don't inspire you to work hard and be the best that you can be, nothing will. So, it was great to be around him, see what he's doing at the gyms. And, he could I think a lot of these guys, he's inspired them to do whatever it is as well, like outside of the ring as well. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because he does a lot of stuff outside of the ring, and there's a lot of guys who he has promoted who are doing stuff out of the ring as well. You know,
how was he away from the camera? You know, because obviously when the camera's on, there's that money Floyd image, money everywhere, big cars.
Yeah. Like for me, again, you know, he gets a bad rap, and I think, like, I can only say the way that he treated me, but I know fighters who did have an issue with him, so he wasn't all good. You know, we ain't all good, but the way he treated me, I never had an issue with him. Like, he would always ask me if there's anything that I need or, like, whatever, and, yeah, you know what I mean? So, I think a lot of his friends, his family, he wants them to do well, so he tries to help them as well. And I think you get the comparison a lot with Manny, who does loads for charity. Like, he gives away, like, there's so much. Like, Floyd, Floyd does a lot as well, but if like, say, like, if me, I said he bought me a car. If I didn't say to you that he bought me a car, then you would never know, because he never says. And there's a lot of his guys where he signed them. They were new in the state. He would get them a place to stay. He would pay their rent until they're getting paid good. He would buy them a car to get around. So, you know, like, these folks, he would help. If some of his friends, if they wanted to start something up, he would help them to start it up, you know. So, I think he does a lot, but he don't mention it. And, it's others like me. I would always say that he bought me a car, or he done this for me or for that for me. So, because there was even one time I wasn't even signed to him yet. I might have been, I'm not sure. But I was where I stayed like, he didn't know where I stayed, but I left the gym and I used to stay like a mile away, like from the gym. So I was just walking back home with my bag on my back. And then he must have just saw me just going, like, walking along. So I saw some car just swing in front of me. So I was like, who the fuck's that? So I look and I see Floyd. He said, oh, where are you going? I said, oh, I'm just going home. He said, where you live? I said, I'm just over there. So then I got in his car and then he drove me. I was just going just down the road. But it was the point that he easily could have, like, just drove on. He was with all of his crew behind him. But he stopped, he said, get in the car. And then he drove with me home. And I don't even think I was signed to him then. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's just cool like that. You know what I mean? So, it is what it is, man. But you don't hear a lot of that because folks don't really... He don't say what he does, but he does help a lot of folks out, which is good, you know?
Yeah, because he's paid for quite a few boxers' funerals, you know, who ended up on hard times and they couldn't afford to pay for themselves, the families. So
yeah. Like he's done stuff in it. Like at the end of the day, he's earned his cash, so it's up to him if he wants to buy this watch or this chain. But at the same time, he does help out. You know what I mean? But you can't please everyone in it, because if folks don't like you, they're always gonna say, oh, he don't do this, he does this. But, you know, I think he does a lot of stuff, you know what I mean? You always could do more, but I think he does a lot as it is.
Do you think
he helped so many? Look, I come from England and I went over there. He knew of my career, what I had done. I had never had the promoter to back me. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to help you. And he didn't have to sign me because I wasn't no top guy. I wasn't no big name. But he just knew of my grind, that I had never had a promoter. I was always on the B side. And he just wanted to help me. He didn't really get shit from giving me a break, because I ain't no big name, but he wanted to give me a break. And I think a lot of the guys he did sign were in, like, the same kind of position. It's weird, because he's at the A side and stuff, but maybe because of his dad or Rog or Jeff, he's seen the other side of it where, like, you're not a star. So he's seen the side where you're the B side and you got to fight the guys who were stars. So I've noticed that he does sign a lot of guys who aren't known, but he wants to give them a break. Like, he he signed Lowe's like that because he just wants to give them a chance. Or there was one guy he signed that he saw that he had a wife and he liked the kid. He had a kid and the kid is cute. And he signed the guy like because just to help him to provide for his family. So, like, you know what I'm saying? There's times that, you know, he just helps folks out to help. So, for me, it was good to be able to see that. But that's what I'm saying. If you speak good of Floyd, it's like, oh, you just kissing his ass. I don't have to kiss his ass. Because I'm not signed of him. And I left a year before my contract. So, if anything, I would talk bad about him. But you still have to be grateful without him. I wouldn't have fought at the MGM Grand like 3 times. I wouldn't have headlined in Nevada. And I wouldn't have fought for the world belt. So, and I wouldn't have made, you know what I'm saying? So he helped me to achieve some goals in my life and to, you know, to make some cash as well. So you have to appreciate that shit at the same time.
Do you think we'll see him return?
You know what? Sometimes I see the videos and then I see that he's got the same team around him and stuff. Sometimes I think he will, but then when he does these interviews, he says he wants, but at the same time, there's no one for him to fight because he ain't going to fight like the Earl Spences or the Terence Crawford. So he's not going to have a real fight like that. I think if Floyd was to come back, it would be like an exhibition fight. Like, I don't want to say like what he done with Conor, but that's like say like his last 2 fights, something like that. I can't see him coming back and going against like the young guys. He would fight like a celebrity, like in some MMA shit or something like that. It would have to make him like 100 mil. Like, you know, he would only come back for something like that, I think. But it's still good to see him in shape. You know what I'm saying? To see him like in the gym doing what he's doing. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's nuts.
You mentioned Errol Spence. That's someone you actually, you've actually sparred with. What did you think of him when during that period?
Oh, no, Spence. I sparred. So that was the camp, the Guerrero camp. So that was before I was signed with Floyd. And he had sparred with Floyd at the time. And it was the week of his fight that he was going to fight. And they asked me to spar because he was just going to stay sharp. So it was good. He's big than me. So I could feel the size difference. So in there, I was just trying to stay with my defense and stuff. But he's very strong. But I knew he was going to be a world champ because he had all the tools. So to see what he's gone on to do now, I'm not surprised. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, there's Crawford, I think, is out of them two who are the best. But at the same time, he even admitted the other day that his lifestyle outside of the ring was not good. So sometimes, you know, he had his car crash and whatever it is. So I hope he's seeing the error of his ways so he can change up because he can go on to be like a free weight champ or whatever it is. Because I do think he's very good. But, you know, we still want to see the big fights. So we want to see the champs be the champ. So he's in a weight division where there's a lot of great fights there for him.
Another Las Vegas native. What do you think of Devin Haney?
Oh, yeah, Dev. Yeah, I love Dev, man. We sparred just before, what fight was it? The AB fight. So Devin has sparred with everyone. Like whatever champion or contender was around, his team would always ask if he could spar them. So I'm his team. They must have asked my team if they could spar me for that fight. And the funny thing is, the week before, I had sparred, Teofimo. So the week before, I had sparred him like 3 times in the week. Yeah. And then I sparred with Dev. So Dev was very good. He's got skills. He's got speed. His feet are good. I don't know if he's got power. That's the only chink I would say that. I don't know if he's got power, but he's got all the tools, like the speed, the skills and stuff. But if anything, I was very surprised with Tio, because when I sparred him, he had skills and speed, a lot of like they were kind of like the same to me, like when I spar them. But I didn't really think they had power. But Tio, he's been coming with the KOs. So it's kind of nuts. Like, he turned pro and then he's just been getting some crazy KOs in. So, you know, that's good for him. And he's just called out Dev as well. So that would be a great fight. Two of the young ones. And that's very rare for young guys to want to fight. Well, it's easy for them to call each other out. If it really goes down is another thing, because we got Ryan Garcia as well. Like, he's like a next young one out there and stuff. And yeah, it'll be very good because he might fight. What's the guy's name again? Oh, man.
Ryan Garcia. Supposed to be fighting Linares.
Yeah, like that would be a great fight, like, for him. Linares is very good, but he's not known to have the best chin, so that would be what I would think Ryan would think. Yeah, he can get the KO, but it's good to see that the next generation of the sport, it's in good hands. I think the next generation, there's some good guys that are coming through. And it's good to see that, you know, for fans alike, you know, it's always like the passing of the torch. You got the old guys, now it's time for the young guys, you know what I mean? Time for the young guys.
I know Ryan Garcia had some beef with someone from your old gym, Rolando Romero.
What's his name again?
Rolando Romero, Roly.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Roly's very strong. He's a bit wild, but Roly's very strong. He could be the wild card because he's not really a big name, but he's got power and he's got heart. He's got a good chin. So he's one that could come through. Again, he's another one that Floyd didn't have to sign him because he wasn't an old top amateur, but Floyd gave him a break and then he shined in the pros. Like, he come up slow. Then of the last year, he's been starting to make some noise. So, again, like, Floyd likes to just help folks. And then it's up to you to grab it and to, you know, if you're going to shine or not. So, he's another one. So, again, I say the sport's in a good place because there's a lot of these young guys that are coming through and just trying to make some noise. But it's a shame when, like, some of them are trying to get the fights. And the other ones won't bite. The other ones won't fight. It takes two to make a fight. So you always have... It's all good you're doing the talking, but you've got to get in the ring and no one wants to lose their own. You know what I mean?
After you left Mayweather promotion, she went on a little bit of a world tour. Germany, Hungary, Ghana, Poland, Mexico, out in Dubai. Can you just explain why you decided to do that? Was that just something towards the end of your career you wanted to experience?
Yeah, so basically, 3 years ago, I done some interviews, and it was weird because 3 years ago I forgot about the interview. I said that I wanted to do a world tour, and then I was with Mayweather Promotions. I'm getting older, so that's why I just asked them if they could release me, because I was like, I want to fight home one more time, and I want to do a world tour before I retire. So you know, I had basically achieved everything that I wanted to achieve. Like, I ain't got, like, I'm 39 now. So I'm not going to achieve nothing else. Like, there's nothing more that I'm going to achieve what I can. So I was like, you know what? I want to do a world tour. Just kind of take the stress of the sport, because the sport can be kind of stressful when you're in those big fights and whatever it is. So I just kind of wanted to do like a 10-fight, like, world tour. Just going all over the world, just having fun, getting some wins, seeing the fans. And it was kind of cool to go all over the world and to know that a lot of these folks know who I am. You know what I mean? So it was kind of nice. Like, I would say the best thing about it was meeting and interacting, like, with the fans. I got so much love. So that was kind of cool. Still, I did enjoy that. So for me, it was kind of just to relax for 2 years, like stay in the gym and just have some fun, just going around the world, just getting wins and you know what I'm saying, just making the most of it. Because I've done everything I wanted now. So so when I haven't retired yet, but when I do retire, like I've done everything that I've wanted to do. So, you know, so even after my last fight, I could have retired that night. I went back to the changing room and I was content. I was like, I'm proud of me. Like everything, because I'm writing a book like right now. So I've read about me as a kid, my teenage years and everything. So just to think of what I wanted to do when like 20 years ago and everything I had to go through to get to where I was, it's just amazing to look 20 years on and to see what I've achieved. So like loads of folks say, but you ain't no world champion though. Sometimes it's not even about being a world champion. There's some world champions, I've had a better career than them. Like you might have the belt for like a fight or two. It's cool to say you've been a world champ, but for some of the stuff that I've been through, you know, for me myself, like I could die today and I would be very proud of what I achieved. Because as a kid, I wanted to fight in America. I fought in America. I was part of the best guy, the TBE's team for 5 years. So, you know, everything I've achieved, being British champion, going all over the world, fighting all over the world. So, like it's been cool for me. So hence now I'm trying to get my own gym. So that would be like my plan to finish off, have my own gym. And I would be content. So that's what, since my last fight. So the last, I'll say like 5 months, because this lockdown is kind of stalled it. So the last 2 months, I haven't been able to do shit. But for 5 months before that, I was like putting in work to have my own gym, just going around, just trying to find a spot. So that's kind of what I would want to do now, to have my own gym. And I'm cool. But until that, yeah. So, you know, just stay in shape.
Any chance of a movie?
Well, you know what? If it's the book to do well, then you never know. Because even though I come from the, you know, the normal thing, like it saved my life. It did to me. I don't think it saved. It didn't save my life. But as a kid, I was involved with in crime. Like a lot of stuff went down. So for me, like when I read back and everything I've been through, I'm like, wow, like this could be, like this guy, this could be made into a film, whatever it is. But I'm going to write my book because right now I would like to show like a lot of the youths who are involved in crime that you can change your life. Because I used to, from when I was like 13 years old to 20 years old, that was my life. I was on the street doing crime, if it's like doing whatever for on the street. So that was my life. So for me as a teenager, to be involved, like have like folks trying to kidnap me and to shoot me, to change my whole life and to be doing what I'm doing. Like I know that there's others that, you know, maybe my book could read my book and be like, you know, I got dreams of doing this and that and I could do it as well. So that's what I'm just trying. That's what I've been doing in the lockdown. That's why, in a sense, the lockdown has been good because you can make the most of it and stuff. So I've been trying to, you know, just finish my book so I can get it out there, because I think it could help some kids or just anyone who, you know, they don't have faith in like their life, like the mirror, but you can always change it.
Who would play you?
Who would play me? Well, Will Smith could play an old actually fear thing. But you know who I like? I don't even know his name.
Is it the guy from Creed?
Not Creed, because he's already done it, so he can't do mine. He's in, what is that song thing? The British guy.
Idris Elba?
No, it's what is the show called? The BBC One. Snowfall. So the actor, there's an actor in Snowfall. You ever seen Snowfall?
Nah, I don't think we don't get BBC out here.
Well, it's an American show though, but it's shown over here.
Snowfall. I'll have to check it out.
It's based in LA, and it's called Snowfall. So the lead actor in that,
He's dark skinned though, but the lead actor in that, I think he's a good actor, so he could play me. Damson Idris.
There we go.
So he could play me. He's very good actor, and he's British as well, but he's in America.
Oh, okay. So out of all the countries you fought in, which one's your favourite?
Ghana was good. Ghana was better than what I thought it would be. Like, Ghana, it was nice to go there because they made me feel at home. Like, it was kind of weird. You know, you go to these places and sometimes you're scared because you don't know anyone there or whatever it is. And they just kind of, like, just put their arms around me and said, you're home. Like, you know what I mean? So Ghana was good. The Dubai fight was good. The show there was a great show that they done in Dubai. St. Lucia was good as well, because that's where my dad is from. So it was kind of good to fight where my dad was born and to represent my family, like my St. Lucian side. So, like, to go back there, that meant a lot, like, to me. So I would say those kind of ones, those three spots were, like, my favorite one. But each one of the, wherever I've been, Romania was fun, Poland was cold. And I was sick in Poland as well. But Poland was cool. Like, you know, so I'm a lot of them. But America's always, but I think I've had like 20 fights in America. So that ended well. You know what I mean? I had around 20 fights in America, you know.
Favorite venue?
Was the MGM Grand. I loved the MGM Grand. There's one fight that I wanted to fight at that I never got to go. It's MSG. I always wanted to fight at the MSG and I never got to. And the weird thing was, I was supposed to fight Zab there. And this was 2008, just after I beat Chop. I think it was under Ray Jones and the Joe Calzaghe bill. And I was supposed to fight Zab. And we trained at the same gym in Brooklyn. And so when I found, I didn't even know that Zab trained at the same gym, because he used to come in at like 10 o'clock. And I used to come in around 4 or 5 o'clock. So we didn't see each other and I didn't know he trained there. So I was training with Dimitri Salitra at the time. And so I think some of his guys in his team, they found out that it was me who we were supposed to fight. And they must have just said, no. Because I think he was just supposed to have like an easy fight. So I don't think he was going to get paid. So then I was supposed to fight Zab there, but then Square Ring, they were the promoters. I forget the guy's name. So the guy who was in charge, he said that I could fight my friend who was also on the card, Francisco Figueroa.
Mm-hmm.
He fought, what was the drunk master? He fought Emmanuel Agassiz. So they asked me to fight him instead. But because I knew that he had a shitty camp, I said, I can't fight my friend. Because he had confided in me that his camp had been so bad. I had a great, great camp because I thought I was going to fight Zab. So I can't turn around and fight my friend because I knew his camp was bad. And then he ended up, he must have got a draw as well. So I could have fought there. But because I'm a real friend, I didn't fight there, like an asshole.
So you said, obviously, you're still looking for that one last fight. I think it's back in Britain. Are you still looking for fights against, like, Ricky Burns, Terry Flanagan, maybe even O'Hara Davis?
I've given up, because if those are going to go down, I've been back for 2 years now. So if those fights were going to go down, it would have went down. They don't want it, or their promoter were like, don't want it. It is what it is. The only fight I was offered, what's his name? Josh Kelly?
Mm-hmm.
Josh Kelly. So I was offered him like 3 times, said no twice. Then on the 3rd time, I told Hearn yes. That was last March. But then they went quiet. I don't know why they didn't want the fight, because they asked for it like 3 times. So that was kind of that. So it's weird. I've been chatting to some promoters or whatever it is over the last 2 months about some fights. So until you know, so they're trying to say like fights are gonna go on soon. They're just waiting to chat to whoever. So I might get to have like two fights this year, but yeah, I'm trying to get my gym. So my gym is like my main thing that I care about. I'm still in the gym. If I get a fight, great. If I didn't fight again, I wouldn't give a shit because I've done everything that I've won. What to do? So from when I get my gym, I'm out. But until that time, if a fight came up, I would say, all right, cool. So that's kind of where I am now. But that's what I'm just trying to put in. I'm trying to, that's why, because my friends are saying, you're going to be like Ray Jones, just keep having fights. I said, well, I'm not trying to get KO. I'm not trying to get KO like that because I love Ray, my number one guy. But because he went on for too long, you know, he lost to a lot of guys that he shouldn't have lost to. So, so that's why I'm just trying to get my gym. So I got something to do. You know what I mean? Because that's what happens. A lot of us who want to retire, we ain't got no other skills, or we don't know what to do next. So we just keep continuing to box until we get hurt. I rarely got a stutter, so I don't need to get no bad slurring or whatever it is. So that's what I'm trying to I'm trying to get my gym so I can say bye bye and just kind of enjoy my life and stuff, man. But yeah,
if you could pick one last fight, pick the opponent, pick the arena, who would you pick and where would it be?
You know what the weird thing is? I probably would want to fight like one of like the top guys. Like if I could pick like one guy to go against, it would kind of be like, who is the champ? The WBC champ, that Ramirez guy, whoever he is.
Yeah.
Jose Ramirez. So if I could have probably one fight, it would probably be like Ramirez because he's the number one guy at that weight,
depending whichever way. You could say, is it Josh? You could say Josh, or you could say him. They both have both done the same thing. But I always want to fight in America, so that's why I would choose him. So, So if I could fight anyone, it would kind of be. You know, I would want to, if I'm going to lose or not, I would always say that I want to fight the best. It don't matter if you lose or not. As long as you try, to me, that's all that matters. You know what I mean? So I would always choose to fight the best if I could.
Josh Taylor at Tottenham's new stadium.
Woo! That would be nuts. Even because AJ was going to fight there. It would have been great to fight on that card list. I was like, damn, it's a shame I'm not signed with Eddie now, because I would love to fight at the Spurs ground. But yeah, so yeah, he knows, man. He knows.
You're like, Eddie, I'll fight for free.
Well, yeah, to be on that card, it'd be a great card, a great place to fight. You know, that would be like the tick. You know, you could tick, say, yeah, I'm done now. It's not even about the money. I just want to fight at the Spurs ground. You know what I mean? So, no, it's all good. Hence, you got the Spurs, you know, we're wearing the Spurs pajamas.
So, Ash, with all your experience and knowledge, would you consider being a coach, a manager, or an advisor?
You know, I think the last 10 years, I would like to help the guys advise or manage them, because you get like, I would want my 25%, because the coach, it's where the coach puts in the most work but gets the least amount of cash, because the coach is there every day and you spend the most time with the guy. You're normally friends because he confides in you what's going on in his life and ever. So the coach, I don't say doesn't get paid what is worth, but the coach does more work to me. But I just done my ABA with England boxing. I just done my coaching awards. So I'm officially a coach as well. So I've just passed, I think it was March that I passed. And I've been working with a few of the amateurs and I kind of enjoy it. So it's, at first I didn't want to be a coach because I was like, you guys don't get paid enough. But I actually enjoy it. So now I can see why there is guys who like to work with the amateurs, or they like, you know what I'm saying, because they like to see them grow and see them improve. So I would like to manage, but I'm at the same time, I do see why guys coach. So you never know, I might coach as well. So yeah, I would like, but I would also, the thing with me, because I spent majority of my career abroad, if I was to like help a guy in his career, a guy or girl, like with their career, I would want to take them abroad, because I think a lot of times we stay where we're comfortable. Mm. And sometimes when you go abroad, that's when you take a risk, because that's when you're not surrounded by the referee that knows you. Like, you go into the unknown. So for me, I always enjoyed going into, like, being... Sometimes I enjoyed being the B side because I was expected to lose. So if I did lose, it didn't really matter because I was supposed to lose. But then when you win, it's even because I always remember when I beat Chop, the crowd were like chanting USA, USA, USA. That was at the start. Why, like, the last half of the fight, they started to chant my name. So, like, that was kind of great. That was great to see that I could change the fans' cheers. And even when I was British, when I fought the British champion here, and the crowd was cheering for Lenny, to silence the crowd and beat their guy always felt good to me. So I kind of used to like going and doing what everyone says you can't do. You know what I mean? So for me, even when I was supposed to lose against AB, I believed 100% that I was going to win, because I had trained so hard. I had such a great camp. Like, Arab, and I believed I had a style that could, because the fights that I saw that he didn't do so well in or he had lost, I was like, I can do that too. So I always believe, it's weird. You can sometimes go against, you could be going against a guy who is better than you, he's achieved more than you, but then you still believe that you can do it. So that's another great thing about the sport, is that there's many guys like me who don't give a shit if a guy's a champion or if a guy's a star. They still believe that they can pull off that upset. And I was always kind of like that guy who believed he could pull off the upset and just believed in myself. Hence why I went 10 years without a promoter, and I went on to be like the world number four British champion, fighting all over the world. And then I got signed to Floyd after that. That's kind of unknown, to be on your own for 10 years and then get signed by promoters. Normally, the other way around, you get signed at the start of your career, then, you know what I'm saying, you might lose your promoter, and then you've got to do it the way that I've done it. So, yeah, it's interesting.
I don't want to keep you too long, Ash, but can you give us some of your favourite fights for us to watch during this lockdown period?
I had done compiled such a good list the other day, and it was like of not like the ones that everyone says. Like, I want to say, like, it was like, what's his name? Willie Pep. So, Willie Pep fights. He's a great guy to watch because he has skills, but he also could fight. Who else is there as well? I like a lot of the black and white fights, like, you know, like the olden day fights. Cause I think it was a great time, like, for the sport. I know it was very corrupt as well, but they seem to just have a lot of wars. So even though I like the skillful guys, I do like the wars as well. But I'm a Pernell fan. So, like, Pernell v. Ramirez, the first fight that he lost was still a great fight. Even though he got robbed, I think it was a great fight. You got Roy Jones and James Tone. I think was a good fight. He showed a lot of skills on that one. Well, a lot of Roy Jones fights, like when he was champion, are just great to see, like, what he could do. Sosa, he fought some guy called Sosa. I forget his first name. It was like a Spanish name. But that guy was tough. And he would just come and fight. Even when he fought the short, tough, stocky guy who was world champ. I forget his name. But yeah, but there's a lot of good. But a fight that I watched before I used to go out and have my pro fights, I would always watch Haglevi Mugabe. Because I think they don't get mentioned a lot. They say Hagler and Hearns.
Yeah.
But the Mugabe fight I like because it was like a war for like, I think it was 9 rounds or something like that. But they were just going at it. Like, and I think it's a great fight. And I thought that was a great fight. So that is a fight that I watch for all of my fights. And I also like the Cotto fight and Floyd Mayweather fight. That doesn't get mentioned a lot, but that was actually a war. Like, Floyd didn't really box a lot. And I love Cotto. I'm like a big fan of Cotto. So I thought that was a great fight. The Floyd v. Gatti was a great fight as well. That was a good performance by Floyd. Yeah, man, there's some great fights out there. Some great fights out there.
Let everybody know where they can find you on social media and anything else you've got in the pipeline. The floor's yours.
At Ashley Fairfane on all of them, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. And then, yeah, just my club. I'm trying to, you know, because our sport helps so many kids change their lives or just achieve their dreams. So for me, my aim is to have my own gym, because I would let you know, because my coach, he helped me as a kid. He turned my little dreams into a reality. So my aim is to have my own gym so I can help the next set of kids achieve their dreams and make it into reality. So that's kind of my aim going on. Like, it's not really about me no more because I've achieved my dreams and I've done everything that I'm going to do in my boxing career. It's more about helping the kids to achieve their dreams now. So that's 2020 is all about the kids. It's all about the kids, 2020.
Well, once we get outside the house...
Huh?
Once we're allowed out the house.
Indeed, because I'm inside. I've been inside for like 7 weeks now, I think it is. So it's cool. I'm trying to make the most of the time.
All right, Ash, thanks for
your haircut as well. My haircut. Look at that. I need a haircut. Help me. Get me out.
All right, Ash, thanks for your time. You can obviously find us at The Last Round 12 on Twitter and Instagram, and we'll be back tomorrow with episode 80. So, Ash, thanks again for your time, and hopefully we'll be allowed out soon and the fights will be back on and we'll see you at the York Hall or Tottenham Stadium, something like that.
Okay, all right. See you, my man. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.